the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and we have a lot to get to this afternoon. We look forward to catching up with Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps a little bit later this hour. Jimmy, there wasn't a lot accomplished. In fact, there was absolutely really nothing accomplished by the TSSAA today, but we will talk about what the decisions could mean for football and fall sports. Well, I should say girls soccer, since there are other sports that are said to be A-OK where they stand right now.
Yes, and of course, the later they wait, that would indicate that we would have fewer, perhaps, regular season high school football games, depending on what they do with the playoff schedule. I don't think they want to go too deep into December. I think they're far enough into it now. I guess the first weekend in December, but that could have an impact on it. But if they wait much longer, then you're going to have to lop off the first few games of the season. And it'll be interesting to see what they do. But there are three options out there with college, with high school football. And Jesse's already expressed his desire about one of the options. We'll see if he remains sold on that idea.
He will join us a little bit later this hour. Hour number two of the program, around 4:35, Andy Jeffers will join us. Andy, of course, our friend with Sports and Entertainment Media, and he puts the in-vehicle cameras there for the Truck Series, for Xfinity, and for NASCAR. And not only will he talk about Jimmy Johnson and his return to the circuit as far as the clean bill of health or moving forward, testing negative, but also it could be an update on the schedule as to what it looks like beyond the All-Star race and moving forward with NASCAR. So Andy Jeffers at 4:35. Our good friend John McClain in the Houston Chronicle will be along at 5:05. And then, Jimmy, we look forward to catching up with the VFL tennis commentator and coach Paul Anacone later tonight.
Yeah, Paul does a terrific job. He has coached some of the greats out there, from Pete Sampras to Roger Federer. He also has been calling a lot of matches on the Golf Channel. That's where he's been staying busy, as they have been playing a number of different kinds of events, not regular ATP events, but he's been busy with that. And we've got the U.S. Open coming up in late August. That is still on the schedule. We'll get his take on that.
So we have all that and more today on Sports Talk.
Let's get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters. Technology you need, people you can trust. Happy 97th birthday to Gus Manning. He turned 97 today. What an icon he's been at Tennessee. Is his birthday one day before yours, John?
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah.
Correct.
So, great folks traveling. Were born in July, weren't they? So...
But some would say, happy others birthday. Would argue.
Yeah, but, well, not about Gus. So.
True.
But anyway, congratulations to Gus. It's just a shame we're not able to visit him on a regular basis, but certainly it's understandable. A few other notes out there. With Tennessee Sports, Marshall Stewart has been promoted to assistant athletic director and assistant provost at the University of Tennessee. A few other notes. So we've got Alabama's offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian. He had congenital heart issue recently. He had a procedure last week, and hopefully he'll be doing okay. Thing that concerns you, I know the Centennial Conference is only Division III, but they have suspended their fall sports. Some of those could be held in the spring. They have 11 full-time members. All of these teams are located in Pennsylvania and Maryland, but they have suspended their fall sports. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen at the higher level, but anytime you see this thing going on, you wonder a little bit. Vanderbilt has eliminated their athletics communication department. It's being absorbed by the university. There's been a lot of negative reaction that I've seen about it. They've had some key positions eliminated. Andy Boggs, who I dealt with many times, he'd been there for 13 years. He got laid off. And then Larry Leathers, the SID for many years, took a buyout in June. And so they are eliminating that the athletics communication department. Jimmy Johnson has been cleared to race this Sunday. He had two negative tests after having a positive test. So if you go back to when he joined NASCAR in 2001, 83 victories. Kyle Busch has 56 since 2001. Kevin Harvick, 53. As far as Some soccer news. Now, the MLS, they're going to get started tonight. They got Orlando City and Miami going at it, and they're back to the MLS, back to the tournament. Dallas is not competing. They've had 14 total positive tests. 10 were done recently. And then you've got, in terms of Nashville, they had 5 that tested positive. The last thing I – and that's since arriving in Orlando – the last thing I saw was there was a possibility of, that Nashville and Chicago did postpone the match that they were going to have, but there's concern about them even playing in the tournament. I don't know whether or not they're going to go ahead and participate in that. Michigan State gets a commitment from Max Christie. He's a number 12 rated prospect in the country. Michigan State's got the number 1 rated player committed for 2022, and that's Amani Bates. So Tom Izzo getting it done there in recruiting in basketball. A few other notes out there. Steve Gallier, a local golfer, a tremendous senior player, he scored his 15th ace today. He did it at Lookout Golf Club in Tennessee Match Play Tournament. He did it on hole number 13, and he did it playing against Cade Russell, who's a player at the University of Tennessee. That is the second ace scored against Cade Russell in 2 days. So if you haven't made a hole-in-one, and you're eager to get on the board, go play Cade Russell tomorrow. Maybe you'll have some luck. We'll see. As far as, John, we touched on this a little bit yesterday with tennis. Rafael Nadal, he's missed 9 majors in his career. He's missed 2 French Opens, but he's missed 9 of them due to injury. Roger Federer has missed 4. Not all have been by injury. He's elected to miss a couple of French Opens, but all 4 of the ones he's missed have been since 2016. He had played in a record 65 majors in a row before he missed in 2016. We'd had that come up yesterday, and I wanted to get that question answered. As far as golf is concerned, the Ryder Cup has been postponed until 2021, and so they're going to move it. They're going to move the Ryder Cup that was scheduled for 2022 to 2023. They're going to move the President's Cup, which was scheduled for next year, to 2022. So then every other year you're going to have the Ryder Cup, President's Cup, Ryder Cup, President's Cup. But they had to adjust that a little bit since they postponed it. I thought they might go ahead and play it, even though it is a very much a fan-induced event. I thought they might play it because we're having PGA tournaments being held anyway. But they've decided not to, so they have postponed the Ryder Cup. The co-owner of the WNBA is in a bit of hot water. Her name is Kelly Loeffler. She is a U.S. senator. She proposed that in the WNBA they put flags on the uniforms, and she disagrees with parts of the Black Lives Matter movement. She says the WNBA needs to have less politics in sports, not more. She said she wasn't consulted about a policy to put Black Lives Matter on the jerseys. She said it's polarizing politics. That polarizing politics is as decisive as ever, and we should unite to remove politics from sports. A number of people are uniting to remove Loeffler as a co-owner of the Atlanta Dream. The WNBA commissioner came out and spoke against her. A number of players have come out and spoken against her. And so it'll be interesting to see if she remains with the Dream. Meanwhile, some WNBA players unhappy with their housing concerns. I don't know exactly where they're located, but they said that they were at the lodge at the IMG Academy. And the IMG Academy is in Bradenton, Florida, not Orlando. But they said that they had rodent traps in rooms, they had bed bugs, and they had showers that don't drain. They have already moved women out of that housing situation. That's a mess. I can just imagine you're told, all right, you're going to have to quarantine. You're going to have to stay in this place. And then you get down there and you find it's a mess. So not very good preparation on the part of the WNBA in that regard. South Carolina's athletic director, Ray Tanner, said on a radio show today, he expected maybe 15 to 20,000 capacity at South Carolina home games at Williams-Brice Stadium. But he also said there may be no fans. So we'll see what happens with that. There had been some speculation that the SEC virtual football media days have been canceled. That's not true. They have not set a date, but it's not true they've been canceled. They're still looking at finding an appropriate date to host it. I just checked with the SEC office today, and so they have not been able to put that together, but they are still planning on going forward in that regard. All right. As far as a couple of notes on Major League Baseball, the Dodgers are going to start Clayton Kershaw in their season, in their opening game. That'll be a record 9 openers in a row for Kershaw. Also, there were three teams that stopped workouts on Monday, Washington, Houston, and St. Louis. San Francisco did the same thing on Tuesday. There are concerns about delays in testing. There are concerns about some positives that have been out there. And so they have San Francisco joined that group. They have had, according to ESPN, over 6,000 tests administered to baseball players. And, of course, players are getting multiple tests along the way. Only 76 positives. Major League Baseball thought it would have more, 76 positives. I don't know whether I should say that's a real good number or not, but I guess with 76, you would still feel like you can proceed with having your Major League Baseball season, which is scheduled for, what, about 3 weeks down the road, John?
Yes. And, in fact, it's the 24th, so we're closing in on 2 weeks from, I guess, Friday.
Yeah.
So. And I guess what you have to look for, we've seen the spike in cases, but you take a look at Jimmy Johnson's situation. While he didn't feel too good, he also didn't present any really serious symptoms. And so maybe that can be what you hope for. While there might be a spike in positives, just you look to avoid those that have the serious illnesses and, of course, those that would require anything in terms of critical or intensive care. Mm-hmm. So who knows? I mean, right now, like you've been talking about, we've seen a spike in cases. We just don't know exactly what the taxing portion is for each league and where it would start to look at, all right, at what point do we just shut it down?
Yeah. Another MLB note, the Mets will host the Yankees September 11, 2021. That's the 20th anniversary of the attacks. As far as the NBA, New Orleans coach Alvin Gentry, who's 65, got the okay to travel with the team 9 minutes before they departed for Orlando. He's insisted he wanted to coach, and they're allowing him to do so. The Nets are going to be without four players who had the virus: Spencer Dinwiddie, Taurean Prince, DeAndre Jordan, and Wilson Chandler. They are all out. There was also a second Pelicans assistant who has opted out of coaching in Orlando, and that is Jamel McMillan. She wants to take care of a newborn, so that's certainly understandable there. And another tennis note, Novak Djokovic called criticism of him a, quote, witch hunt. He did admit that he started his events, his exhibition events, he started them too soon, but he said he did it in good faith. But he also had this issue. He was seen partying and dancing at bars at night, and that's certainly in a crowded area, so that certainly didn't bode well for his situation. He also said he's unsure if he's going to play in the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open tournament is scheduled for late August in New York, so he is still unsure about that. Oh, another NBA note I meant to mention, there's a Magic player that tested positive. He's not been identified, but there's a Magic player that has tested positive. And those are news and notes brought to you by Image Matters.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We have a lot coming your way today. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Turn us up and embarrass the Alabama fan that sits in the next cubicle. This is 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We invite you to join us this afternoon, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. We're with you until 7 o'clock, and then that's when we'll have another new edition of the Starting 11 with Will West, his show on soccer. And then we will have an encore performance of In the Cage with Vince Ferrara following at 8 o'clock. So we've got Sports Talk till 7, and then local programming continues to 9 before CBS Sports programming takes over.
A lot going on. And certainly with One of the things I wanted to touch on, another note, I saw where we've had so many situations, and I kind of hate that this happened. Lamar Jackson, he has canceled his event in Pompano Beach in Florida. He has flag football and water skiing. He does a bunch of stuff. They said their sign-ups exceeded the limits of how many people can be there, so they're going to have to cancel that. I hate to see that, but that's the proper thing to do. We're just not in a position where we can have large gatherings, in particular in states that have been hit so hard by the coronavirus. So I saw this with Patrick Mahomes signing his 10-year extension. So he's got a 12-year contract now with Kansas City, 2 years left on the current deal, then 12 years. Athletes that have signed through 2030, Bryce Harper, 2032, Mike Trout, through 2031, Mahomes, 2031, and Christian Yelich, through 2030. There is not another quarterback, according to ESPN, that has signed past 2025. Not another one.
Wow.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So it's Mahomes has 6 more years on his contract left than any other quarterback in the NFL. How about that?
That is unbelievable. So, and I would imagine that some agents are either pointing that out or some teams are saying, we need to get this done.
Yeah, and what's funny is the Dak Prescotts of the world, he wants a 4-year deal. Dallas wants a 5-year deal. So I think sometimes it depends on the athlete or the team as to whether they want a long-term deal or a shorter-term deal. But those numbers really surprised me to see that. And baseball with 3 of the 4, and then there's the one quarterback, the outlier, in the NFL that signed that remarkable contract. And as far as the salaries for NFL quarterbacks right now, and now Mahomes is not making $45 million this upcoming year. His contract, all that kicks in after two more years. Russell Wilson at $35 million a year, Ben Roethlisberger $34 million, Aaron Rodgers $33.5 million, and then Jared Goff at $33.5 million. So that's the current contract numbers. And I thought it was kind of interesting. I don't see any way this could happen, but hey, I've been wrong about this stuff before. They were talking about how I think they said, was it maybe 10, 12 years ago that Peyton Manning was making $12 million a year, and now we've got a quarterback that's going to be making 40. So is it reasonable to think in 15 years there could be a quarterback making $80 million? I'm going to say no, but that these numbers are just crazy. And another reason I'm going to say no is I don't think people are ready to jump out there and pay it. Of course, Kansas City just did it. But you got to worry about the coronavirus. You got to worry about the NFL season. And I realize that much of their money comes from the TV revenue, but you still make money with having season ticket sales and fans in the stands. And unlike colleges, you don't have donations necessarily for the right to buy tickets like you do in college. And so I'm going to be curious to see if there's going to be a leveling off a little bit of the salary cap in the NFL over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I do think that while there would be the potential for some contracts to top what we've just seen, I think it'll be a little while before we see something that tops that. But I also think, as you're alluding to, that the way that the cap is structured, that at some point, it's going to level out. They always have wiggle room in terms of how you might defer this or bonus that, but for the most part, I think we're approaching the potential in terms of exactly how much money a quarterback could make. Now, any team could make up its mind, but realize, okay, we're going to pay our quarterback this much because he's that outstanding, but also realize that we're going to have to come up short in other areas.
Yeah, and this was kind of – well, one of the things Mahomes said was that he liked the contract because it gives him stability with the franchise for a long time, and it doesn't eat up so much of the cap that they can't surround him with good players, anticipating, of course, that the cap is going to grow in future years. We will see where that puts him. He said, I don't want to be the guy that's hogging all the money. Now, one thing I saw was that when he gets to that number, now we don't know what the salary cap's going to be in 3 years, his salary is going to be 25% of the salary cap. there's not a quarterback in the game that's even close to that right now, from what I saw. So that's an interesting number. The other thing is, I heard somebody say the other day, well, in 4 or 5 years, he'll be the fifth or sixth highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I don't believe that. No. In fact, in 5 or 6 years, 4 or 5 or 6 years, he still may be number one. Somebody's going to have to outdo him. And I do get the, I do understand that when contracts run out, then that next, it's kind of like the next man up contract deal, where sometimes your best quarterbacks, sometimes your highest paid quarterbacks are not your best quarterbacks. So I get that. I understand that. But I don't think they're going to go crazy with paying $40 million a year for quarterbacks here, or more than $40 million a year, to where you'd have multiple quarterbacks making that kind of money. I may end up being wrong with that, but I'm not sure I think that's the direction they're going to go.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, as Mike Keith pointed out yesterday, it's not as though this immediately goes into effect and impacts the Chiefs' salary cap for this coming season. I mean, he still has some very team-friendly years before this really kicks in. And I mean, I think he has done Kansas City a favor, and I think the Chiefs have done him a favor. I think it's mutually beneficial, the fact that both parties agreed to the deal they did. And I do think, as we've talked about, it is structured in a team-friendly way, but also if some of the mechanisms aren't met throughout the course and the life of the contract, then that would give Mahomes the opportunity to opt out and do something else.
And we have seen some quarterbacks in previous years, like the Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's and Drew Brees, where they could have taken more money at their position, but they wanted to make sure that they weren't cutting some really good players on the team. Their interest was more about trying to win instead of being the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, which and I'm of this mindset, and of course others can see it differently, but what's the difference in 20 and 22 million? If I can get 20 million and you can keep a really good receiver or a good guard or a good defensive back, then I'm taking a little bit less money. Mm-hmm. I can live off 20 million. I don't have to set the market. And I would be, at least I think I would be, more team oriented in that regard, to make sure that I've got good teammates surrounding me, because the ultimate prize is that ring. That's what you want to get to. So you got plenty of money to live off of. I just think that you want to be on a team that's really good. I don't think, and I'm not saying this happened to him, but I don't think a lot of them want to go through the Dan Marino deal, where you're the best quarterback to never win a Super Bowl, or the best quarterback to play in only one Super Bowl. I think he was only in one Super Bowl, right? Or was it two?
Marino. Yeah, I think it was just the one.
Yeah, the second year he was there, I think they got in, and yep. I don't think they made it. So I think that their quarterbacks, and I think Mahomes is of this. Now, the other interesting point about Mahomes I heard was that the baseball background, that his dad was a pitcher in the major leagues, and they're used to these 10-year contracts. Of course, you don't have as many injuries in baseball as you do in football, with the contact sport different. So that's one reason in the NFL they have not given these long, long-term contracts to quarterbacks or any other position. But anyway, I'm with you. I think it's a win-win for Mahomes, for the Chiefs, and I think they're going to be a tough team to beat over the next dozen years.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. When we return, we catch up with Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps. He joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. And we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, where it's another bonus appearance by one Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps. As today it was supposed to be, well, newsworthy when it comes to the TSSAA. There was news, but just not what everybody was expecting. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well, John. We seem to be talking a lot these days.
Yes. Well, the folks in Nashville keep giving us reasons to talk, right?
Yeah, they do. And we were looking forward to today, and we have been for exactly a week now. On July 1st, the TSSAA Board of Control met, because 2 days prior to that, Governor Lee had extended the executive order, and basically wiped out the first 2 weeks of the high school football season. And so on July 1st, the Board of Control met to be presented with four alternative format plans for the high school football season and also a format for girls soccer. And at that point, they decided, hey, we don't have to vote today. We can talk about this for a week. We can go back to our respective regions of the state, talk with our high school coaches and administrators, and then reconvene on July 8th. So over the last 6 to 7 days, really the anticipation began to grow. Everybody knows what high school football means in East Tennessee. And we were finally going to get a course of action today, a plan of action in terms of how we're going to go about the high school football season. And the meeting, first off, did not start on time. And that did not sit well with social media and all those players, parents, coaches, administrators who were tuning in on TSSAA's website to follow along. And minutes turned into more minutes and into more minutes. And finally, around 11:25, roughly 22 to 25 minutes after they were supposed to start, this meeting kind of flippantly begins with something about some cameras for some schools, and then they get into an item about when the classification thing is going to be, and then Bernard Childress, the executive director, takes the mic and basically says, we don't need to vote again today. We're still in communication with Governor Lee's office. There's a little bit of reason for optimism, and they're trying to hold out for a little bit longer to see if the season can begin on time. And while I think everybody, now that the meeting is over, appreciates that because they want a season and they want a full season, the meeting just had a weird tone to it because it started late and they were in executive session, which means privately, for some 20 to 25 minutes. And it just had a weird tone to it, a weird feeling that things were going on behind closed doors that we didn't know about. And then this meeting was over in 5 minutes, and we still didn't have a path cleared towards high school football and girls soccer.
Well, Jesse, I think we all know that and probably share a similar feeling that these days when a decision or an announcement is delayed, that means it's not good. And so I would imagine that was primarily the tone or mood for everybody that was just waiting for either the meeting to begin or word on exactly what was going to be addressed or decided on today, because it just seems like anything that gets pushed back now tells you there's going to be serious pushback later.
Well, right, but you got on the website today and it showed that they're in executive session. Now, the general public, like I talked with Jody Wright, Fulton head coach, head basketball coach, athletic director. He serves on the Board of Control. And I called him after the meeting. I was like, what's going on in executive sessions? Because it looks like from the surface to the general public that things are going on behind closed doors that we don't get to know about and aren't privy to. And then this meeting gets delayed 20, 25 minutes, and then you all come on and kind of breeze through the meeting, and we still don't have a plan. And he said, look, we are in executive session at the beginning of a Board of Control meeting or at the end of a Board of Control meeting pretty often. It's pretty routine. And that's a period where they are meeting with their attorney. They're getting information from their attorney. So it's all covered under attorney-client privilege. So that's not maybe – it doesn't fall under the Open Information Act. So that's what was going on. Now, did it start before the meeting? I don't know. Did it start at 11? I don't know. But it kept everybody waiting for some 20 or 25 minutes. And so the frustration built up. And so when the frustration built up to a fever pitch and then they get on the meeting and say, we're not making a decision today, it just grew. It just made the situation a little bit worse. But again, now that we've had time to breathe a little bit and think of things through rationally, you understand that there's still – talking with the governor's office, and that the governor's office is still analyzing the data and looking at certain information before they make their decision. And the question arose was, well, could they have voted today on a plan as a contingency plan? Well, if they had done that, a lot of those plans include trimming off games. So if they had picked a plan today, regardless of whether Governor Lee, made a decision or not, games would have started getting canceled. So somewhere down the line, Governor Lee says, okay, we're going to start on time. Well, now those coaches get in scramble mode and try to regain games back, and it creates even more frustration with the Board of Control. So it was a catch-22 a little bit that they were in today, but the underlying news is they're still in communication with the governor's office. There's still a chance that they could start the season on time, or if just even have a season period.
Jesse, when do you think a decision needs to be made?
Bernard Childress said in their last meeting on July 1st that they want to have a plan in place and everything greenlit by the end of this month. So, I mean, we're sitting here on July 8th right now. I think sometime in the next 7 to 10 days, there needs to be a decision from Governor Lee's office. That way the Board of Control can meet. They can make their decision. They still have time before the end of the month to get out that information for coaches to plan and to schedule games and all that before practice begins, whenever practice begins. So it's, they need to have some time to put into or put into play or implement whatever plan that they choose. And so in the next 7 to 10 days is what I would think. I tried to reach out to the TSSAA for further comment after their meeting today. They were not providing any more comment. So that was a little disappointing in its own right, but we'll see. It was just kind of a tense situation today.
Mm. You had indicated when we talked to you earlier, you liked option two, which would be an 8-game regular season, 16-team Division I playoff bracket, normal brackets for Division II. Playoffs would start November 13. I did see one survey that was done in which 30 coaches across the state liked option one, 24 liked option two, and 6 liked option three. Have you surveyed any coaches about in East Tennessee about the direction they would like to go?
I really haven't, Jimmy. I mean, I've gotten a mixed bag of results from the coaches that I have talked to, and just hearing the results of that survey just kind of proves that point. It's going to be very hard for these Board of Control members, like we talked about last week, to get a really good gauge of what the coaches in their regions that they represent truly want. Some want option one, some want option two, others want option three. It's just imperative that they take a step back from that at some point and say, okay, what's going to be the best product for high school football in the state of Tennessee? Not what benefits school A, not what benefits school C, but what's going to be the best for everybody, and that's going to be hard. I just think option two gives you a good taste of regular season football. It gives you enough postseason football, really eliminates those first-round blowouts, and it still gives those opportunities to teams that don't qualify for the playoffs to play an extra 2 games and have a 10-game schedule. So I think in terms of trying to appease the masses, which is difficult and nearly impossible, I think that hits closest to home.
As far as soccer, and this was the Tennessean that did this one, their survey indicated that of the 42 coaches that responded, 30 of them want to start the season in September, extend the season a couple of weeks, and play a complete postseason. You had 10 that wanted to start the season in September and continue with the postseason in its normal time, and 2 said they don't think they'll have girls soccer at all, or soccer. How do you see that? Which one do you like on this plan? Do you like the first plan, the second one, or the third on soccer?
Well, the first thing I'd like is for the TSSAA to really address girls soccer in the same breath as football. It's often glossed over in these discussions and these meetings that we have. We had 4 options presented a week ago for football and just 1 option for girls soccer. We were supposed to get more information on that today, and we didn't. Mm. That meeting kind of wrapped up really quickly and oddly. So first off, I'd like to see more options than just, okay, we're going to push the season back, the start to the season back a couple of weeks. Y'all can still play, you know, your full regular season, and then we're going to have our postseason. It's just, it hasn't been addressed with the same quality equality as football. And look, I get it. I'm not dumb. I got a finger on the pulse of what's going on in Tennessee. We understand that football is the king of the state, but there's still a lot of soccer coaches that are out there in doubt, just like high school football coaches.
Our guest, Jesse Smithy of 5-Star Preps, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Jesse, as you mentioned already, there's holding out the hope since TSSAA has requested to be considered along with college football and the pro, actually, and pro sports in terms of just being able to go on and get the wave, I guess, of contact to where they can start on time. Do you have any kind of feel for the chances that could still be doable?
And that's what we're waiting on, and that's probably the text message I get the most, is if I've heard anything out of the governor's office or anybody that I know that might know something from the governor's office. Anybody's looking for even third and fourth hand information is getting passed along quite often these days and taken as gospel, which it shouldn't be. And that's what we have to safeguard against during this as members of the media. But I have not gotten an indication from the governor's office. Again, I tried to talk with the TSSAA further today about some of those decisions and why things were in executive order and just have not gotten very far on that at all. So all we know right now is that the TSSAA's legal team is in conversation with the state, with the governor's office legal team, that the state and the governor are aware of what TSSAA normal sports calendar looks like and when football starts and when girls soccer starts. And so I think they're trying to push this to maybe a drop dead date of some that I don't know, where they can take a look at the data and make as informed of a decision as they possibly can.
And there is still going to be work done on the next classification, right?
There is. Yeah. I mean, typically at this point, six months ago, we would have thought that the lead story of the summer of 2020 would be the reclassification. And that workshop is going to take place on July 22nd, I believe, at Siegel High School in Murfreesboro. And basically, the Board of Control convenes. They're going to do that in person while adhering to CDC guidelines. And they'll be presented with all sorts of plans for from the TSSAA as to what football could look like, how many classes for football and for other sports as well, what regions could possibly look like in regards to enrollment numbers and things of that nature. So it's going to be a long workshop for them. It'll probably be streamed online from what I'm told, so that media can follow and report on it and the general public can watch and kind of get an idea of how that process goes. So a lot on the plate of the Board of Control over the next couple of weeks.
Jesse, do you think that the leadership in the TSSAA needs to do a better job of communication?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It's a cop-out answer. I would not want to be in their situation whatsoever because, like we talk about so much, there's no blueprint for this.
Yeah.
Jesse, what's going on right now at Five Star Preps?
It's hard, and I understand the difficulty of this situation, but today I thought they were a little tone deaf to how the public was going to be receiving this decision by starting that meeting so late and just kind of the backlash that happened with that. So I think they're learning as they go through this, and I applauded them for their efforts last week in gathering together everything in 2 days to present to the board. And it was just disappointing today to not have a decision or kind of a clearer picture of what football and girls soccer may look like.
Well, Jesse, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. We look forward to catching up with you again Friday. But thanks again for the extra time, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
Thank you.
You as well. That's Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
The Sports Animal and Alexa are best friends. Just tell her, Alexa, enable the 99.1 The Sports Animal skill.
Skill enabled.
Then anytime you want immediate Tennessee sports info, say, Alexa, play 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Okay, playing 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyam.
Well, John, I sure hope they can get this high school football situation resolved. We already know they're not going to start the season on time with the games that will not be played that start in August. So hopefully they'll get that going. It was tough enough on many athletes who were not able to complete their season in high school this past spring. And so I would love to see them have high school football. I think there are a lot of great things about the sport, soccer as well. So hopefully we can get this thing resolved. We shall see. Of course, it's affecting a lot of things. It's not just high school sports, but it's affecting a lot of things. I saw where Rafael Nadal is not going to play in a pro series in Spain. He has had concerns about playing any tennis at any venue at any time. We'll see if he plays in the U.S. Open. But it's just been, as been mentioned, there's no playbook on this thing with the virus and trying to deal with it. And so the impact that it's had on high school sports, college sports, pro sports, it's just been hard to a year ago at this time, there's no way anybody would have thought we would be in this kind of situation. And it's just been a difficult thing for many people to manage.
Yeah, and you take a look at the shocking news from Stanford today that they're going to cut 11 sports. They field 36 teams right now, but they're going to cut 11 sports. And it is just so surprising to see because you have so many of the Pac-12 that do have just an inordinate amount of teams that they have had for years. And, in fact, I believe that it's Stanford and UCLA that share the number of different sports in which they've won national championships, which I think is 20, 20 different sports in which they've won the national title. So it's something that continues to have a significant ripple through the sports world.
Well, it's one reason Stanford's won the Dedgum Mini Sears Cup, so the all-sports trophy around the nation, is you don't take all 36 into consideration. I think what you do is you take your top 20 finishes in a particular sport, and that's allowed them to go forward. The thing I also wonder about is that if you're dropping a sport right now and then things get back to relative normalcy in 2 or 3 years, do you bring those sports back?
Mm-hmm.
No.
That remains to be seen. But mm-hmm. You take a look at what they're dropping, and you've got men's and women's fencing, field hockey, light rowing, men's rowing, co-ed sailing, women's sailing, squash, synchronized swimming, men's volleyball, and wrestling. So it while there might be some sports that you don't normally see or hear about NCAA competitions, there are some that are right there that you would be surprised to see Stanford withdraw, and that's exactly what they're doing. But they also look like they feel that they're going to save upwards of $200 million with these sports that they have cut and other reductions they have made.
That's $200 million over what time frame, do you know?
It just said maintaining and sustaining. So my guess is it would probably not just be the sports and scholarships themselves, but also facilities.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, I've tried a whole lot of sports. I don't think I've ever tried squash. What about you?
I have not.
and it's not on my bucket list either. Although maybe it's a fine sport.
I'm sure it is. but I have yet to dip into that pool specifically.
Me either.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We've got a lot more coming your way, and we invite you to join us. 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Hour number two of Sports Talks coming up as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.